Have you ever had a time in your life where you needed help, where you were overwhelmed or felt buried? Let me guess. You had a hard time asking for help. Well, you can forget all of that after listening to this episode. On this week's Own Your Intuition show, we will be talking about creative tools for when you need help. And I'll be dishing on some of the moments when I was swamped and what I did.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to start out with a thank you to one Apple Podcast reviewer who recently gave the Own Your Intuition show 5 stars. They wrote, "This podcast showed up at exactly the time I needed. Aimée's messages are so impactful and simple to understand. I find myself asking, is this fear or intuition? Often a game changer for me." Thank you so much for taking your time to star and review the Own Your Intuition show. Today, we're going to talk about asking for help. I was on the phone recently with a student of mine who was in a pickle. Her hormones were going bonks, as they do at certain periods of transition in our life. So she wasn't sleeping. And that's no joke, friends. When my children were babies, when my daughter was a baby, my son actually slept through the night at 5 weeks. Oh, it was amazing. When my daughter, my second born, was a baby, and I was up nursing through the nights, I learned that lack of sleep actually starts to shut down parts of your brain, literally. So when you are not getting enough sleep, you are actually also losing your wits, your capacity. Don't worry, it's not forever. It can be regained with sleep. Sometimes, as in the case with hormones or newborns, for example, it is out of our control whether we are getting enough sleep. So this episode was inspired by her, by one of my students, because what she is experiencing is not something unique. A crazy moment in life where you feel completely overwhelmed by what is on your plate and you know you need help stat. That is actually a universal experience from time to time. Let me tell you a story from my own life. About a year ago, I had an emergency appendectomy. Of course, it happened in the middle of the night, and I do live on an island. So in that case, that night, we actually had to wait a couple of hours before we could even get on a boat to take me into the emergency room. By that point, I was repeatedly almost passing out from the pain. In fact, just before we left the house, I asked my husband to call the paramedics again. They had already been at our home earlier, during which time I had deduced that I was having an appendicitis. I just wanted backup ready in case I passed out while my husband and kids were getting in the car with me. I didn't want the three of them standing there not knowing what to do if that happened. I wanted the paramedics standing by. I still remember that night when I woke my husband up and was like, "We have to go to the hospital." He was obviously groggy and floating all the thoughts out loud, like, "What should we do with the kids? Should I call someone? Do they need to come with us? What do we need to bring?" Etc. All these things. And I was like, "I need a blanket and I need you to make all the decisions right now." I was in so much pain, I literally could not think, and even hearing about decisions to be made totally put my brain on overload. We had to, and by that I mean my husband, we gently jiggle our children's sleeping bodies in the middle of the night and be like, "Wake up, honey. We have to go to the hospital. Mom is really sick. Grab your blankets, okay?" My poor son came into my bedroom and upon seeing me was like, "Are you going to die?" Practically at the top of his lungs, he said it. Seeing me like this, understandably, put him in so much distress. Fortunately, my sister had had an appendectomy many years ago, so I was able to tell him what I felt to be true in my bones, and obviously turned out true, and that was, "I am not going to die. This happened to Aunt Nicole too. She went to the hospital. They took out her appendix. She's fine. I will also be fine." So obviously I didn't die. But what was also unusual about that moment in time was that my husband had also just undergone a surgery. So he totally wasn't up to his usual snuff. So he wasn't in a place where he could just start juggling all of the things with ease after my surgery either. It was the morning after I returned from the hospital after having the appendectomy when I knew we are in trouble. I was laying in my bed when I heard my family fighting right outside the door. And then my husband sort of barking orders at the kids to vacuum. It was like 8 a.m. on a school day. And my husband was trying to get the kids to vacuum before they left for school. I don't even remember all the details. Maybe something was spilled. I don't know. But forced vacuuming at high-pitched voices at 8 a.m. in the morning was a dead giveaway to me that we are screwed. We need help. You see, one thing I know about my husband is that when he is stressed out, he needs the house to be clean. So when he's yelling at our kids to vacuum at 8 a.m., very unusually, he was exhibiting to me a telltale sign that he was at stress overload. Also, a person who is just off of the surgeon's table, like I was, cannot recuperate with yelling and vacuuming going on just outside of her door. This is not a formula for healing. Our house is not that big, so anything that happens in it, even with the door to my bedroom closed, I can pretty much hear it. My cortisol was through the roof just hearing them argue. So, what did I do? I grabbed my phone. I composed a text message that said something like this: "We are in trouble. I just had an emergency appendectomy. Jason is still recovering from his surgery. We need help. Anything you could do to ease the burden on our family at this moment and facilitate healing would be welcome. A meal, a broom through our kitchen, anything. We'll take any and all help right now." And I sent it to all of our friends. And you know what? I have busy friends, just like you do. And no matter what, they have their own floors to sweep and mop, their own dinners to cook. Do you know what happened? our friends showed up. They did. They brought meals. They stopped by even with only a 30-minute window and ran the vacuum and threw in a load of laundry. I'm remembering one couple in particular who came by together. One of them threw dinner together. The other one swept the floor and chatted with the kids. Then one of them took my kids to the grocery store and got them treats, while the other one folded all of our towels while chatting with me as I lay on the couch. I mean, what a big help that was. It's a small thing, maybe, in terms of time. They were over for like an hour or an hour and a half or something. And the light they spread is still shining because it means so much to me, just remembering it. So here's the thing. There seems to be pervasive shame in our culture about not being able to do it all. I don't really get it when I think on it, because for so long, like millennium, humans have lived in communities. No one did it all themselves. And yet, somehow today, we have this idea that if we can't do it all, it is shameful. You are listening to the Own Your Intuition radio show and podcast. I am your host, psychic and author, Aimée Cartier. And today, we are talking about creative ways for getting and giving help, and how there's just zero shame in not being able to do it all yourself. I have a cousin who is a lawyer. Her husband is a CEO of a big company. They have three kids. And she would tell me that people would say to her, "I don't know how you do it." And she'd reply, "I don't. My mother lives with us right now, so there are literally three adults in our home. That is the only way it is possible." So, for the record, I also want to say that I have experienced periods in my life where I felt under so much stress, specifically about parenting things that I was trying to understand and troubleshoot, that I literally couldn't reach out to anyone at that time. I just needed every minute for recuperating silence. So I get it. And I want to honor that too and say zero shame in all cases. But if I can even be the niggly voice in your head that allows you to send a text or an email or make a phone call that says, "You know what? I am totally in over my head right now. I really need help." Or even, "I don't really want to talk about it, but do you have time to help me around the house for a bit? I'm so swamped." There is no shame in not being able to do it all. And frankly, these expectations that we have of ourselves, of doing it all the time, are just so darn unrealistic. So maybe you're going through a divorce, or you're moving. Maybe your workload is just huge at the moment. Maybe your family is going through a hugely stressful time. Maybe for one reason or another, it literally doesn't matter why, you feel underwater right now. There is no shame in not being able to keep up with your house. There is no shame in having moments where you just can't do it all, where for one reason or another, you feel in over your head. So, first off, try an emergency text to your friends at 8 a.m., as was the case for me. It worked for us. My first job out of college was working for Oregon Public Interest Research Group. At the time, we were running a recycling campaign. I spent 5 days a week walking neighborhoods in Portland, Oregon, where I lived at the time, knocking on doors and asking people to contribute to the campaign. Doing this is called canvassing. One of my first days on the job, I accidentally canvassed a street that had been done just the week before. And I still got many people to sign up. That's saying a lot because they had literally just been asked. I still remember the mild shock on the face of my supervisor when she realized that I had canvassed, when we both realized really that I had canvassed a street that had just been done and that I had gotten contributions for the cause. I'm telling you this because personally, I've never had an issue asking for help for a good cause. You are a good cause. Your existence makes light in this world. I don't care how insignificant you think your contribution, it matters. People would care if you perished. Those who love you want you to feel at your best. You matter. If you need help, please, please ask for it. You know those like suicide awareness pieces that go around every so often on the internet? As I was composing this podcast, I was thinking about those, how there's like this, you know, share this to save a life or something on Facebook. I've been musing lately, what would the world look like if instead of feeling like we've got to have it all together ourselves, we actually just gave up that illusion? Like my cousin who said in no uncertain terms that the only reason they were able to do it was because there were currently three adults in their home. What if we just gave up that illusion that we should be able to do it all and asked for support when we needed it? What would that world look like? Because here is another currently true thing about our world. A lot of people feel helpless to help big things in this world. I seem, for example, currently incapable of ceasing genocide. I am not able to do that on my own. This feels true to me. It's just an example. What if all of those people in the world, all of us who currently feel helpless about helping one thing or another, put that energy toward helping someone, someone we love, someone we know that needs help? What if we put that energy toward making one little thing or a few or some big things better for those around us? Wouldn't that feel good? What if you could vacuum the floor of one overwhelmed friend and leave her with a smile on her face and feeling loved and cared for? Might that not count for something and erase some of the powerlessness we feel? What type of currency might we be creating if we cared for one another in this way? No matter what side you are on, the helping or the helped. Here are a few beautiful examples of creative ways that we might help one another. If you just joined us, this is Amy Cartier, and you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show. And today we are talking about asking for help or getting the help you need and how there is zero shame in needing help. It's literally how we are built as humans, to help one another. This world, our society in general, could not operate if we weren't all in this together, doing our part. So let's talk about some creative ideas for asking and receiving help. I got an email from a beloved student recently who had just lost her stepmother, a woman who was very impactful and meaningful in my student's life. She sent an email out to all of her people asking that they hold her in the light, send a word of encouragement, or anything, whatever they were moved to do. She noticed that she was needing help getting through this hard period, and she reached out for it. It was a simple email, to which I responded and lit a candle for her, said some prayers for her. I feel certain that mine wasn't the only response that she got and support that came through. How many lives would be saved if instead of feeling shame at not being able to get it all done, we simply asked for help when we needed it? We have friends who do a once a month yard work exchange with like five other families. So once a month, all of the families circle up at one person's house. That person is responsible for providing lunch for everyone. Everyone together does the yard work that is needed at the house. That's another brilliant idea. You could also do that with house cleaning too. I mean, wouldn't it make it so much more fun if you were vacuuming with your girlfriends and cleaning the kitchen while listening to some radio and catching up on things? Once I had the thought to do that with family meals of like a sort of cooperative, like do a cooking exchange with a girlfriend of mine, another mother, where once or twice a week we cooked for one another's families. I would send home the dish with her kids after school one day and vice versa. That way we'd have less evenings of cooking. Just a thought to put in the mix for you. Now our family is currently in a groove where the person who likes to cook, my husband, is actually doing all the cooking. And it is divine, let me tell you. Here's another example of help. I have a wonderful neighbor, Betty, and actually, she is going to be on the show next week. She has this rock-solid relationship with my kids, and I am delighted to say that after she moved in, her relationship with my children came first. My kids were always going over to Betty's. They considered her yard like their office or something. My daughter would bring her book over and read in the crook of a tree in Betty's orchard. It was just so lovely, their relationship. Now, it says a whole lot to what a lovely and generous person Betty is, and you will get to know her next week on the show. We're going to talk about managing stress in the body and understanding that maybe it doesn't mean what you think. But when Betty found out through my kids that I hated to cook, she said to me, "Why don't you guys just come over here and eat? I cook every night for all these people anyway." And for a year, at least a year, probably could have been more, every Tuesday we ate dinner at Betty's house. My daughter, who loves to cook, would go over early and help Betty make the meal. Betty and I would text about what our family could contribute. My kids would ferry over the food in time to make dinner. And we would enjoy our neighbor's company every week. I can't even tell you how joyous and satisfying those weekly dinners were. This, friends, is the kind of beautiful situations we should be looking out for. Ways where we could easily help each other's lives be easier. I have a girlfriend who many years ago, prior to my family, me having a family, I should say, I used to trade her body work, she's a physical therapist, for dinner. When we talked about trading all those years ago, she told me that what made her feel the most nourished was another person cooking for her. So she asked me, would I be into doing that for a trade? I would make her a big pot of soup in trade for physical therapy. Of course, I was totally in. And we enjoyed that trade for many years, actually. Where we live, meal trains are also very popular. Like when someone has a baby or a major surgery or goes through something intense, someone sets up a meal train for them so that they don't actually have to cook. They can get that thing off their list of things that they need to take care of and still have themselves and their family fed. Another example. I have a friend, Caitlin, who is a midwife. And once I got a text from her to, it was a group text to all of her women friends, I'm assuming, saying that she knew of a mother in need. And would any mamas be willing to bring something helpful or cheerful to her office to gift this woman so that all of us mamas could help this mama out. The mama in need remained anonymous. We never knew who she was or what she was going through, only that a friend of ours knew that she, this woman, needed support. People showed up with flowers, massage certificates, meals, I don't know all the things. Just things to brighten another woman's day because someone else knew that she needed it and asked for help on her behalf. If you are not in a position of needing help, but you know someone who is, you could take Caitlin's example and start a goodness or a help gathering campaign on their behalf. We actually have this friend who, when our kids were babies, when she would stop by our house and we weren't home, she would let herself in and straighten up. It's so amazing. The sofa blankets would be folded, some dishes would be done, just because she knew what it was like to have two babies in the house. I'm telling you, walking into these surprise house straightens were so lovely. Thank you, Crystal. During the intense COVID years, I mean, I know COVID is still around, but if you're alive, you know what I mean by the intense COVID years. My children went to a very small outdoor primary school. While no one else was going to school, our kids did and managed to remain COVID-free outside for a whole year. The second year, at one point, many of us got it. The families who already had it or did not get it at all set up this brigade for the families who had it. I'm thinking of it because this same friend, Caitlin, delivered huge wild foraged bouquets to everyone. It was a group effort. Those without COVID made meals, broths, giant vases of flowers, and then delivered the goods to the families who were stuck at home with COVID. COVID or illness or not, these are just some fun examples. The point of this episode is to open everyone up to the idea that we all need help. That actually, it's completely ludicrous to expect that you can do it all, especially if you are a single parent, but even if you are not. So put down every bit of shame you may have around not being able to get it all done. If you cannot afford to hire help, there are creative solutions, as I have mentioned, that maybe you haven't considered. Like, how about a once a month clean your house from top to bottom swap or some such thing, like I mentioned earlier. But think about it. 4 friends in 4 hours could make a huge dent in the state of your house. I have a girlfriend who organized that once many years ago. If you ask for help, if you are honest, if you are giving others the opportunity to do a lovely thing for another person, I mean, that's not why we do it. We don't ask for help for that reason. We ask for help because we need help. But, you know, when we see all of this sadness around the world, when we, so many of us, find ourselves in a position of feeling helpless about a great many things, how about using that energy to help one another, to find creative and meaningful ways to support one another in this world? Maybe they're simple and not what you thought of. Maybe they're a surprise for your friend, like our friend who would straighten our house randomly. But think of all of the goodness that we could weave together by, one, just letting go of the shame of not being able to do it all. I have another friend who recently started a trash picking up campaign on the island I live. The campaign part, how I just described it, is grossly overstating it because it's actually just a text thread with like 16 friends on it or something. He puts out where he is planning to pick up the trash on a beach or a roadside and what time, and whoever can come does. Many hands make light work, as the saying goes. I'm thinking of another friend of mine who during COVID times, he started just making a big pot of chili and cornbread and showing up at places in LA to deliver it to homeless people. Again, just a random act of kindness for someone who could use that. So I'm suggesting that there are many ways to add goodness to this world, to support and help one another. And that asking for help when you need it, even just to keep yourself afloat, is actually a cause worth contributing to. Okay, please DM me on Instagram or shoot me an email through my website, amaecartier.com, if you or your friends or family members start any one of these helping co-ops, or if you just get or give support. I would love to know about it. There are people in need in this world. There is help to be given. It doesn't have to be hard or cumbersome, and there is zero shame in receiving it. All right, friends, all my love. This is Aimée Cartier. Thank you for being here. I hope this episode will help you drop any sense of embarrassment if or when you ever find yourself needing help. And maybe it will help you just remember that helping each other is what we are meant to do. I can offer you support in three ways. One, through my Own Your Intuition program. You see, intuition is what I know. In my programs, we will circle up together for 13 months. You'll have plenty of time to learn, practice, and experience the magic of your own intuition with my support, cheerleading, and guidance. You can drop into the program at any time and start your journey circling with us. Two, if you need answers to bigger questions, answers that will help you sustain and create bigger shifts in your life. Did you know I have written a whole book about this, how you can do it for yourself? It has four easy steps that anyone can do to get answers to the questions of their lives. I even give you the first chapter for free, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Number three, I do psychic readings for those who don't want to wait to read a book and implement the strategies themselves. So if you need answers stat, jump on my calendar. As always, you can find out more about my work, my classes, and my psychic readings at aimeecartier.com. Oh, my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.